An American writer moved to India and found a country that's dramatically changing. What may be changing most is India's frame of mind.
India has become, in a way that it has not been, a land of opportunity for millions and millions and millions of people.
A land of opportunity, he said. The journalist Anand Giridhar says that's new. Giridhar grew up outside Cleveland, Ohio, and then he moved to India, the land of his ancestors. His book, India Calling, describes India's growing economy and the new possibilities it has created, something we might see as American-style chances to get ahead. Yet he also explores a country riddled with ancient divisions of class and caste.
In India, you're eternally a master and eternally a servant. And servants, in many ways, have been seen and taught to see themselves as being not someone who is situationally inferior, but someone who is eternally, intrinsically inferior.
What happened when you encountered a servant who didn't quite realize who you were?
It was a really interesting moment in which I saw the truth about India in a way that I hadn't seen before. We had gone over to some friend's home for breakfast, and their servant was much loved by the family, had cooked us this fantastic breakfast, and he made this very famous coffee, and it was a typical elite Indian breakfast with all of the fussiness and all of the servitude. And a short time later, we returned home, and I realized that I had forgotten to drop off a mattress at these friends' home. So I had changed by then into shorts and a T-shirt from my fancier breakfast gear and went back to the house in a shorts and T-shirt carrying this mattress to give it back. And I rang the doorbell. The family had left, so the servant was still there. And he saw me and didn't recognize that it was the same guy who just had breakfast. And I was now wearing a shorts and T-shirt, and I was carrying this mattress, which made me seem like a kind of delivery man. And he suddenly was a totally different guy. He was cold and gruff, and he started barking at me, put it down there, quickly, quickly. And I didn't understand what was happening for a minute. It didn't occur to me that he didn't recognize me since I'd been there just half an hour before. And I realized he thought that I was a delivery man. And once he thought I was a delivery man, I had gone from being someone he had to serve to someone who had to serve him. And I looked at him and I said, I was just here. And I suddenly saw the man have this total human metamorphosis. And he shrunk right in front of me from a master to a servant. And his whole body, his physiology changed. And he started apologizing with his presence and with his words. And you realize that almost every Indian is engaged in both of these transactions at different moments of their days, superior to some, inferior to others. And as an Indian poet once said, never thinking to resist the one kick from above, nor to refrain from giving the kick below.
Well, let's talk about that. Did you meet anybody who managed to transcend these boundaries or move from one station in life to another?
One of the people I spend a lot of time with in the book is a guy named Ravindra, who is in his late 20s and was born close to the lowest of the Indian low, born in the kind of world that you can't imagine anyone getting out of. Something happened to him that has happened simultaneously to millions, maybe even tens of millions of Indians who were also born as quote-unquote servants. He got this idea, partly through television, partly through school, that he didn't have to be a servant anymore. And he basically self-educated himself with all these courses and certificates that are now all the rage in small-town India. If you drive through small-town India, every little ramshackle building is offering an English class or a computer class or a sewing class or classes of any kind. And he took, like, dozens of these courses. He certified himself in everything imaginable and slowly pulled himself up to being a computer teacher. Then he got a job at a travel agency. And at the travel agency, the real advantage of it was not the money, but the fact that he got to sit with middle-class people, many rungs above him in the hierarchy, and just watch them while he was selling them these travel packages. And he watched how they dressed, how they gestured, how they talked, what kind of cars they drive. He memorized everything about them and mimicked it and slowly set out to become them.
How did it work out?
He runs an English language academy, and he runs a roller skating academy. Roller skating is this huge craze in small-town India. And he's a lecturer at like 7 colleges teaching people English. And he's made himself the guy in this small town of 50,000 in the middle of India. He's made himself the guy who you need to go see in that town if you want to get out of that town.
Well, you know, I want to ask you, as an American who grew up in suburban Cleveland and then went to live in India, you've lived in these two countries that seem to be at different places right now. You have an India that, as you point out, has this incredible image right now and is seen as the future, but you point out that that's actually very problematic. You've come from an America where there seems to be a great fear of decline, although, you know, we shouldn't miss the fact that it's still the greatest economy the world has ever seen. I wonder how the illusions are changing and how much the realities are really changing in these two countries right now.
There are two ways you can think about this. It is certainly true, the defining narrative that Americans have told themselves about themselves for a long time is anything can happen here, anything is possible, we change the world, we change our lives. And I think it is true that that narrative in America today is in decline. I think it'll come back, but we're not in a good moment for that narrative, and you're seeing a lot of resentment and fear and anxiety around that. It is correspondingly true in India that the idea that you shape your fate, that you make your destiny, was not a dominant idea in India and is becoming more of a dominant one. And so at a casual level, walking around America, watching TV in America, walking around India, watching TV in India, you feel that India is possessed by a narrative of hope right now and America's not. But your point is very well taken. I think in both countries, we tend to underplay the extent to which it's the fundamentals, not the narrative, that matters. In America, you take something like American universities, for example. You take the Silicon Valley ecosystem. You take the way the American legal system functions. These are kind of century-level advantages. It will take other people a very, very long time to replicate any of these things, and certainly all of them in conjunction. And I think in India, the opposite is true, which is there's so much optimism and foreign investment is flowing, etc., that people sometimes get deluded into thinking this whole thing is going to be wrapped up in about 5 years. But in many ways, India still has a lot to work out. And one of the risks of a boom is that it becomes easy to forget that.
Anand Giridhar is the author of India Calling. Thanks very much.
Thank you.